Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for another day of life. We thank you for the beauty of each and every day, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we might have mentioned in the last week, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And dear Lord, as we look into the world and we look into this week was a beautiful full moon and just the stars and the weather and just nature itself, Heavenly Father. And Lord, you designed all these things. You made all these things, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we even see the destruction of the hurricanes and the fires and the things that have happened, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, sometimes we see videos of a tornado and the devastation that it does, Heavenly Father. And but Lord, that's just a very, very small portion of your power. And dear Lord, we want to recognize that you are our God. A God of all power, a God of all creation, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us. We're thankful for your goodness to us, dear Lord. We're thankful for salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, the world doesn't understand sometimes, and we hear many different people make testimonies and things, and whether they're young or whether they're old, dear Lord, to hear one day and they're gone another. So Lord, it's important that we know God. It's important that we get saved. It's important that we stay diligent in our salvation, Heavenly Father. As we said, some of these storms and hurricanes and catastrophes that happened, Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't know the day or the hour that we're taken out, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, just because we're a child of God, Lord, doesn't prevent you from taking our lives, dear Lord, or allowing anything to take us. So Lord, we need to be ready. And Lord, the world needs to be ready, dear Heavenly Father. And as I've mentioned from time to time, when I hear, and one had just passed away just in the last few days, when I hear of movie stars or famous people and they're in the news and they say that this one passed away for whatever reason, dear Lord, maybe just sickness or old age or whatever, my mind always pauses and hesitates, dear Lord, and realize that they're in eternity, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, each and every one of us one day will go to eternity. And Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us. That's the purpose we're here, dear Lord, to not only make sure we're saved, but dear Heavenly Father, to get ready, to be watchful, to be prepared. Dear Lord, Jesus said we need to be watchful. We need to be ready in the day and the hour when we don't know when you may come back. So Lord, that's our purpose for being here this morning and to receive what you have for us. And Lord, we ask you to bless each and every heart and soul and mind that will gain some higher ground and the things in our spiritual life. And we'll certainly thank you for it. Anoint the word, anoint me that I'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians here, and some familiar verses. Of course, I think I say that a lot, and I believe everything almost in the New Testament should be pretty familiar with the saints, I believe. I'm going to look at this verse a little bit differently than maybe how most of the time we've looked at it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye?" He asked in verse 16 a question. He goes, "Do you not know, do you not understand that you are a temple of the Lord?" God has designed us for a purpose, mainly one purpose, to serve God. And God, as we've always mentioned, as Brother Danny has mentioned sometimes, with young people looking for this, looking for that, looking for things, God has put a spot in within our being that he has reserved only for himself. Nothing in this world can fill it. Fame can't fill it. Money cannot fill it. Love cannot fill it. Children cannot fill it. Our family cannot fill it. God has reserved a spot down in our soul that can only be filled by him that makes us pleased, that makes us a blessing and enjoying life. God has designed us to be a temple for himself. And he asked the question, he said, "Know you not that ye are a temple of the Lord?" And I asked you this question, and I want to ask the Lord to help me, and I want you to take it. I feel it's a very serious thought and message as it goes on here this morning. But are you understanding that your body, your physical body, is a temple? If you're saved, if you ask the Lord, if you repented from sin one day and God has saved you, that you have asked the Lord to be, you'll be a temple, a place for Him to dwell in your body. Amen. The Spirit of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I asked you that question this morning, what does that mean to you? How real does that mean to you? And in verse 17, if any man, he goes on to say, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Two verses that I trust that you can look at and read and just decipher yourself, consider, think about, meditate on. I don't know what other words to use. But I believe it's a very important thought for us as saints of God, if you claim to be saved, if you're a child of God, that your body is a temple of God. This is where God desires to dwell. You say, I've asked God to save me, I've repented from sin, and this is where God wants to dwell, His desire to dwell. And He says there in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, God would destroy him. The word defile, and looking at some thoughts where I'm going to look at for this morning, the word defile in the Bible means to pollute. And we're going to draw parallels from the temple that Moses built and Solomon built of our body today. We know, and maybe I'll jump ahead a little bit, we know that back in the Old Testament that God desired for Moses to build a temple. He desired for Moses to build a place that God can dwell among His people. And He gave him, and I'll probably make this comment later, as you know, I really enjoy the temple, looking at the temple, the study and things. And as God gave Moses specific instructions of what size to build this temple, how to build it, what to build it out of, where to place things, what to put things, and God came in and He dwelled among the people of children of Israel. He had a desire, I want to be among you. I don't want to just be a God of far away. I don't want to be a God way up in the mountains. I want to come and I want to dwell right among you. And God desires that today. So when the temple is no longer in effect today, thank God, God has made our bodies to be a temple of the Spirit of God. And God desires for us to make a place for Him to live and to dwell within our hearts. The word defile means to pollute. Means to have an unfit condition. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, if you know, I enjoy talking about the temple. And as I started to put this message together this week, I'm really going to try to deal with it, or work with it, or do something. Downstairs, I think it's in our furnace room. I don't know what brothers, some of you saints that have been around a little bit longer than I have, made a candlestick, the candlestick, out of pipe. It's filthy. I mean, it's dirty. And I thought, I don't have the time to do it this week, but I do want to get it out and clean it up and maybe paint it and use it as a demonstration and things. But there were things in the temple that we'll discuss a little bit later. Let's go to Chronicles chapter 28. Second Chronicles, that is, chapter 28. In Second Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 24, it says, "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut them in pieces, the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several cities of Judea he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his father." And you can go on down through verse 26 and 27, just giving a little bit of history there, the rest of him, where the rest of this is found out, found written in the book of Judah, in the kingdom of Judah. So anyway, here in verse 24 and 25 here, there was many times back in the Old Testament, kings, there were some kings that that worshipped and that honored the temple. There were kings that allowed the priests and all to work in the temple. But there were some kings, and he was one of them. Hazai was one that he says here in verse 24, he gathered the vessels of the house of the God and cut them into pieces. And the vessels of the house, and made to shut up the doors there. So we see that he had a temple there that they were to worship, and he decided to close his temple. He defiled the temple. He shuts up the doors. He doesn't allow the priests to work there, and he takes whatever things were in the temple, and he destroys them. He gets rid of them. And it says there in verse 25 there, and it says, he provoked the anger of the Lord. We read over there in 1 Corinthians, it said in verse 17 there, if any man defile this temple, our body's a temple. Our body desire, God desires our we us to keep, not necessarily the physical body, but, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit on my thoughts here. God desires us as saints of God to keep the diligent, the things that are designed in the temple up to date. We're going to continue on that with a little bit as we go on. And he says here that Haaz was 20 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the sight of God. And Ahaz polluted the temple of God. Now I'm going to go into verse 20, chapter 29, and we're going to go into this later on in the message. We're going to pick up in verse 2 here. After Ahaz dies, Hezekiah becomes king here in verse 2, and he says, and he did the opposite of what Ahaz did, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and reigned and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east streets and said unto them, hear ye, Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord of your father and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So we have two kings here that did the complete opposite of what God desired them to do. Ahaz decided to close up the house of God, to close up the temple of God. And you know, we as saints of God, as being the temple of the Spirit of God, we are going to be held accountable. And I've always said this to people in the United States, we're going to be held accountable of how we represent Jesus Christ to the world. We can close ourselves up. We cannot accept Jesus Christ. We cannot worship Jesus Christ. And we can close those things up, destroy the things that God desires us to do in the New Testament, or we can build them. We can open up the house, in a sense, to be telling people about the things of Christ, telling people about salvation. We can build those things up as Hezekiah did here. As I said, there were several kings. We're going to look at one more real quickly here. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. And in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, it says here, Belshazzar the king made a great feast in the thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank wine. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. They defiled the temple of God. They defiled those items that were designed to be a purpose for the temple of God. He destroyed those things. And he says here that Belshazzar, there again, defied the temple of the Spirit of God. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, and we're not going to go over and read it, but we know that when he died on the cross and he said, it is finished. One thing that the Bible says that in that temple that the curtain was torn in two that separated the holy from the most holy. And it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And I think that the roofs were like 15 feet high or so. So nobody got up there and tore them. But they were torn from the top to the bottom. And the Bible lets us know that God moved out of that temple. Never to ever dwell in temples again made with hands. Because Jesus Christ had provided a way for God to be able to dwell in the hearts of men. I don't want to dwell in temples. I don't want to dwell in a place to where people can pollute it, to where people can destroy it and things. I want to dwell in temples of our hearts and the temples that God has made in our physical bodies. And we know that as Jesus died on the cross, and God no longer dwelt in those temples of Abraham. And we see that Belshazzar took the vessels that were consecrated to worshiping of God, and he used them as in a defilement, as in a polluting them, and to destroy them. And as God desired for us to be that temple, and there are parts that we're going to look at this morning here, I believe there's very important parts in our own temple, our own body, that we're to worship God and honor. So when we think about, I'm just building a little bit of a stage here to bring my thoughts here. So when we think about us being a temple of the Spirit of God, I ask you a question. How valuable, how precious, how holy do you look at your temple? You know, as I mentioned many other times back in the Old Testament, the temple, that was not a place that was to play around in. Children didn't just run in and out of the temple. The high priest that went into the second room once a year had to go into the blood. There was an altar there before the curtain there of the second room, and the blood had to be applied. And when he went into that second room, there were bells on his garments, to where he had to continue to move around in that second room to let people know that he was still alive. And he did the works in that second room, and that was the holiest of holy. And only once a year did they go in there. It was not something that was disrespected. It was not something taken lightly. It was not something just casual. So I ask you the question, now God has made our bodies a temple of the Spirit of God. That temple that was back in Jerusalem and Solomon's temple and Moses' temple that no longer exists, God himself dwells in our temple. How valuable is our temple? How holy is our temple? How precious do you look at the temple of your own body? Your body is a temple of the Spirit of God, as we read back in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes I think we need to meditate and think about that. I think even as saints of God, that we just sometimes don't really comprehend that depth, that seriousness of how we are. Our body is where God dwells. This is where God dwells. And this isn't my thought for this morning, but every aspect of our lives, every corner of our lives, God desires for us to be a good representation for him. I'm a child of God. I am a temple of the Spirit of God. God dwells within me. Well, when I act ugly and I curse someone out or I give somebody a hard time in an ugly way, God's not pleased with those things. This is not my part of my message, but I just kind of understand. This is how serious our body is. How valuable, how precious, how holy that your body is a temple of God. What does that mean to you? Have you considered it? Have you thought about it? Is your body a dwelling place for the Lord or the devil? It's a one of two. You're not neutral. What's the third party? Is it Republican and Democrat? What's the third one?
Independent.
You're not independent. There's not one soul in this world that's independent. Your body is either a temple of the devil or a temple of God. One of the two. And they both cannot dwell in that same temple. Thank God, God's power, God's Spirit will run the devil off. We're going to read that here in just a moment. God's power, if he dwells in our body, the devil has no power to dwell back here again. Let's look at a couple of verses there. We're going to study here some. Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, and I had to study this verse a little bit in depth this week. And this is Jesus speaking here in verse 43, Matthew 12, 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he say, I will return unto the house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked, unto this wicked generation. Are you saved this morning? And if you are saved, you are a temple of the Spirit of God. Yes. And it says here that it came down. He says he ran. He came in and ran the Spirit off. That the Spirit of God, when we become a child of God, when we get saved, he says in verse 43 there, and when the unclean spirit is gone out, he walketh through dry places. When, thank God, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he runs the spirit of the enemy off. He had the spirit of the enemy has no choice. He has to leave. God requires him to leave. God demands that he leave, and he runs him off, thanks God. And he gives us a clean vessel, a new vessel, a vessel that God has prepared and wants us. Now, I'm not going to go into real detail of this, but the Bible lets us know through salvation, when we get saved, God says he's going to be with us. He's going to travel with us today. He's going to sit right there and wait for you to wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, he's going with you through the day. And when you go through the day and you go to work and you go to the grocery store, you do whatever you do, God is with you. But God desires not to just be with you, but he desires to be in you and dwell in this body. Amen. And there is a process. We're not getting into that this morning through sanctification to get God to dwell. But as God removes the enemy of the soul, he says there in verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, God runs that unclean spirit out. He removes him there. And then it goes on through these verses, but the spirit wants to try to return. And when the spirit, when he sent, just because we get saved, I guess that's a game that the enemy plays. Now, just because you get saved doesn't mean you're free from temptation. I remember Brother Davis used to say it too, and I found it to be true. You know, I've gone sometimes days, never been tempted, and I'm doing well, and the devil will come up and sit beside you. Yes, because you're not saved. You know, you're not saved. That's why you're not tempted. You know, that battle there. But just because God comes in and he casts the devil out and he sends the devil away, he's going to go around. He's going to walk around a little bit, but he's coming back. He's going to come back and knock on your door. He wants to come back in. What's he going to find? Now, I'm not talking this happens tomorrow or next day. This could be weeks. What's the devil going to find? What kind of temple is the enemy going to find? Backing up what I've said to you. You know, we talked about Ahaz. He closed up the doors and destroyed the articles that were inside the temple. Belshazzar defiled the pieces of vessels that were in the temple. He defiled them. He used them for his own benefit and worshiping other gods, not the God of heaven. So when the enemy is cast out of your soul, and the enemy will come back and he'll seek that house of what you're living in, he wants to see what's there. Hey, what is he going to find? Is he going to find some spiritual cobwebs? Is he going to find some spiritual dust? Is he going to find somewhere that was light at one time, no light, and darkness? I have several things to read to you this morning. Adam Clark says for about verse 44 there, the soul of that person from whom he had been expelled by the power of Christ, and out of which he was to have been kept. So what he's saying here, I'll just pause there for a moment. So as the Spirit of God delivers the soul from the enemy of the spirit of the enemy, and he casts out the enemy, the spirit of the enemy, and God comes in and dwells among us. But there is a job that we need to do. There is something that we need to do. And he says, which he was to have been kept by the power of some of these things. What are the vessels? What are the vessels in our temple? Continual prayer. Continual prayer, faith, and watchfulness. So back in the Old Testament, we talked about the temple. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But there were vessels in the temple that were constantly being catered to. God is not dwelling in temples anymore than they were in. But God comes to dwell within hearts. But there are vessels here, if you allow me to draw a spiritual parallel here, there are vessels that we need to continue to keep catering to. And one of them that he mentions here, that I have mentioned many times, are very important, is continual prayer. How's your prayer life? How's your faith? How's your watchfulness? How are these things? And Jesus tells us, he said, we need to be watchful. Because if we allow these things to cease in our lives, that's what happens. The spirit of the enemy comes back and he finds it empty. I've not been praying. I've not been reading. I've not been faithful. I've not been in church attendance. I've not been doing the things that I should have been doing to keep the Spirit of God close to me. And he has disappeared. And the Spirit comes back and finds it, as he says, empty. And he goes on there to say, denoting a soul that has lost the life and power of godliness and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. He has become idle and unemployed. His affections and desires are no longer busy with the things of God. How's our temple worship? We need to keep the temple clean. We need to keep this temple clean. We need to keep this temple up to date. And as he said, he uses some thoughts there, and I've added some to myself, a continual prayer. How's your prayer? I haven't prayed in 3, 4, 5, 6 days. I don't know when the last time I prayed. How's our faith? How's our watchfulness? Do you find these conditions in yourself? Do I find these conditions in myself? Or do we find them empty? Amen. Unoccupied. And as that verse says in verse 44, and he said, I will return from the house, and when I came, and he finds it empty. At one time, the Spirit of God was dwelling there. At one time, I was spending time in prayer. I couldn't wait for the time to pray. I couldn't wait for the time to study my word. I couldn't wait for when it was service time. These were exciting times. I was busy in the worship of the Lord in my own personal life. But something has come there, and those things have become distant to me. And when the enemy comes back, he finds our lives, our spiritual life, empty. He's not really worried about going to church anymore. He doesn't really pray. He doesn't worry. Really, he doesn't really spend some time in spiritual things anymore. Unoccupied. You know what a squatter is?
Somebody just moved in.
In our world today, we have people, squatters. They're called squatters. I had a house across the street from me. The young couple that lived there, they just gave it up to the bank and moved to Florida. I think they moved to Florida. It was an old house. I think the house is the oldest in the house. I think it was built in 1919. Old house. And now when we knew they moved, they told us they were moving, and they left and told us they just gave it up to the bank. They just couldn't, whatever. They left. And me and a couple other neighbors ran there, and we talked about it a little bit. And I told one of my neighbors across the street, I said, I can assure you we're not going to allow that to happen in that house. It wasn't mine. But if we were to see it, I would have gone in there and I'd have bolted them doors shut. I'd have locked that place down tight. Because the grass grew up. We had to call and have the banks come out and cut the grass. It sat for several years, I guess, didn't it? Thankfully, nobody did. But there was down the street, down somewhere, there were some squatters. And what they do, they find, they look for a house that's empty. They look for someone that's not occupying a house, that's not keeping the grass cut, that's not keeping the cobwebs out, and they come into it. They'll stay a night. Nobody said anything. They'll stay another night. They'll stay some more. They'll bring other people with them. And this house that was down the street, there was multiple people living in that house for several years. No power, no electric, no water. They were there. And when they tried to remove them, they couldn't. You would think I could just go in there and say, hey, you got to get out. They can, you cannot have them removed like that. It takes a process of a court. Well, that's what the enemy does. He goes to and fro and he looks. Remember the story of Job? When Job went to God, he goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to and fro, basically looking for somebody that I can come and squat in their house. Amen. I can become and inhabit someone's house that is undefiled. And that's what he desired, and especially saints of God, because see, he already has the world. If you're not saved, he already has you. He's already came into your life, and he's set up tent. He's set up place. And he's living there and dwelling there and controlling and running your life. But when saints of God get saved and the Spirit of God, and I thank God that God doesn't have to have a court order, instantly God says, you need to leave today, right now. The man that was up in them tombs and he came down and he was filled with devils. People were afraid to even go by that place. But Jesus cast those devils out instantly. It didn't take a day or a week or a month. Instantly. And the Bible says that that man was found clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Christ. He had a new temple. We don't see anything the rest of that man. But the enemies came back to him and tried to come back in there. Now, hopefully, the man kept a wall up, kept a barrier up, kept the things of God first in his life. But the enemy does his very best to get us to get a little weak here, a little weak there, a little slack here, a little off there. I miss one Sunday. That's not going to hurt me much. I miss one time of prayer. That won't hurt me much. I miss some time of Bible study. That didn't hurt me much. You know, the story of in Matthew, I think it's chapter 25 of the 10 virgins. You know the story very well. Jesus gave a parallel there, or a parable there. He says, five were wise and five were foolish. The five that were foolish stopped taking care of the temple. That's what happened. Amen. They were good for a while, but they got weary in well-doing. They got tired. They got tired of watching. Jesus says, watch. And the day that you don't know that I'm coming, and the day and the hour, watch, it doesn't take you unaware. And what's that mean? It doesn't mean we're standing outside and looking for the heavens open, but we're keeping our salvation up to date. Amen. And when we find a little hole here, some things have been bothering, we recognize it by the Spirit of God, and we start working on getting that back up to date. And we're watchful. We're watchful, we're prayerful. And these five virgins, they stop taking care of the temple of the things of God. You know, Sister Jerry is not here this morning, but I think we mentioned in the last week or so that we have a lady that cleans our church, Dawn. And I've talked to Dawn many, many times. And I guess if you were cleaning for a living, one thing that would bother you is spiders. Because there's webs here and webs there. And I mean, you can... She could clean this building and next week not touch it. Next week there'd be spider webs somewhere. They just love to start. And you got to take care of them. You got to get rid of them. You got to work on them. But you let them go for a long period of time. I've been in the woods. When I walk through the woods, especially this time of year, I find a stick about 5 feet long. Not a big stick. It only has to be a little twig, really. And I hold that up in front of me. I walk through the woods. Because I have walked through cobwebs and they just engulf my face. And I do this and everything. I could walk through there today. I guarantee you tomorrow, that same spot, there will be cobwebs. We have to be diligent. Amen. And keeping the cobwebs, spiritual cobwebs, keeping the dust clean, keeping the things up to date in our and our body and our temple of the Spirit of God. Lynn used to have a little sign in her house. It says, my house was clean last week. Sorry you missed it.
I thought, how true that is. You ladies know that. You can work and work and work all day long, especially if you have grandkids. I always think I like the pictures they show you that. The lady works and works and works, got her whole house clean. Once the grandkids come, and looks like a bomb went off. But we don't leave it that way. We go ahead and clean back up. We have to constantly clean. We have to constantly keep things up to date. We just had the piano tuned. Every year we have to have this piano tuned. Has to be up to date. Things have to be kept up to date. What was the temple? What was in the temple back there? Solomon's temple and Moses' temple. Read something to you I thought was really good. So in that temple, the holy place, as you went into the first room, which was the first room of the temple of God, which was considered the holy place, you opened the curtain, and in that holy place, the room measured 15 feet wide, 30 feet long. And some of your duties may have been involved, some things here. So in that temple, there were vessels in there. And your duties may have been attending to the seven lights of the golden candlestick. So if you're familiar with the temple, and there again, I wanted to bring that up, there was a golden candlestick there that was seven tiers to it. And your job was to make sure daily to keep that oil filled. Daily. Not once a month. I did it yesterday. I did it last week. That was what God required them. Daily to keep that oil filled in those lamps. To continual burning. That may have been one of your duties. Keep the candles are always burning. Always to be kept burning. And there were 12 loaves of bread displayed. And the wine of the golden table. At the golden table. But most likely you will have offered prayers, incense, for the people at the golden altar of incense. The altar of incense stands 3 feet by 1 foot square and stands between you and the curtain leading into the most holy. So there were vessels, and this is sort of my main thought for the service this morning, if you haven't picked that up already. So there were vessels in the literal temple of God. And they had to cater to these vessels every single day. They had to go in and make sure that the lamps were lit. They had to make sure that the bread was there and the wine was there. And then the altar, they made prayers at that altar and incense on the altar. Every day, this was a process. They couldn't just let it go. Well, we'll let it go this week or next week. And God says, you are the temple of the Spirit of God. And God desires us to keep our vessels as spiritual sense of our prayer life, our Bible study, our church attendance, our faith, the things of God, being watchful every single day to keep them up to date, that we make heaven our home. Amen. That God can dwell with us. That God can stay with us. I have another reading. I'll read here to you. Talking a little bit about it. So, in that temple is a golden covered table in the holy place, which was kept for sacrificial purposes. I have a lot of this headline or underlined. The bread typified the spiritual food which the soul of the newly regenerated feast upon. You have to eat every day. Physically, we have to eat food every day. Every day you need to eat something, you need to drink something to continue to keep your body going. Our spiritual souls, to have a relationship with God, to having God dwelling in this temple, we have to eat spiritual food. Every day that food, as he says there, it says it typified the spiritual food which the soul of the newly regenerated feast upon. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The candlestick was clearly a type of light of regeneration. The lamp in that room was made to be burned continually. So that the Lord had become an everlasting light. The soul of the sinner is enveloped in darkness. But when such entered into holy place, their darkness is turned to light. Yea, the pathway becomes shining light, which shineth more and more unto a perfect day. I have one more reading out of this. We'll get to that in a minute, I believe. So as God has parts in the sanctuary and the temple that God desired people to follow and to take care of and to cater to, he does the same today. There are a lot of people think, well, I just get saved and I just go and live my life. God says no. When God told Moses to build that temple, as I said, he gave him specific directions of how high, how wide, material, every single detail. There was not a detail left unattended to. And God doesn't want us to get saved and just to continue to live in the spiritual and the dark spiritual world of the thing. He wants us to come out of that spiritual darkness and live in the light and have a change in our heart, a desire for the things of God. Do you have the Word of God present with you? Jeremiah says, I will put my laws into their minds and write it upon the tables of their hearts. Are you living in the light of the gospel of Christ? Or are you still dwelling in the darkness of the enemy of the soul? Now the next one there, it says, thou shalt put put it before, this is the golden altar, the prayer of incense. Thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Aaron shall burn incense, sweet incense, every morning when he dressed the lamps, and shall burn incense upon it. This is talking about the golden altar right before the second curtain there in the holy room. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. Every morning. Now, that doesn't mean we have to pray every morning, but sometime through today. But there, God says, I require you to do some things. There are vessels in that temple, back in the time of Moses' temple, that God required them to take care of and tend to every single day. When God saves us and dwells within us, he still desires us to keep these vessels of prayer, of study, of our attendance, of faith, of holiness, of watchfulness. He desires us to keep those up to date, cater to them every single day in one phase or another, that we can keep the enemy of the soul from returning back to this vessel. Keep the enemy of the soul coming back to enter into an empty vessel. How's your temple this morning? Is your temple empty of prayer? When's the last time you've really prayed? You know, I've said this many times. I've preached this thought many times. Saints of God, we need to sometimes pray for just you and yourself. I've found that to be very helpful for myself. Get down and pray. You know, I need to pray for Danny and David. And I just go through the and everybody else in the world. I get done. I'm like, I need to pray for me. Really, Lord, help me through today. That's about it. Sometimes we need to find some time, Lord. I need prayer for me. I don't need to pray for Danny. I don't need to pray for congregation. I don't need to pray for anybody else. Me, Lord, I need to draw close to you. The Bible says when you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. I need to draw closer to you. How's our prayer? Is it empty? And you know, there are people in the world who would sadden my heart. There are people in the world, they'll say, I pray every single solitary day. Maybe pray 3 or 4 times a day. But they've never said a prayer from their heart. They go through a model prayer. I've been to funerals. Ministers, I don't know if some ministers even know how to pray. They read a book. They'll get a book. Let's have prayer. They'll read a book. They'll read a prayer. I'm like, do you even know how to pray? Some of you may have been in places sometimes and maybe prayed in public or prayed for an area somewhere. People are impressed that you can pray. Because they're not used to prayer. They're used to somebody reading it. We were at the homeless shelter one year. And before we started eating, they came in and told us that this one gentleman, I think it was his grandchild or something, had just died. I mean, like just that day. So they asked me to have prayer. And my heart was touched. He was an older gentleman. And I could see he was mourning with it. And I had prayer with him. And I had a heartfelt prayer. And multiple people came. I said, now to begin with, we're in a church, okay? This is the Streets of Hope, based on church foundation things. And they said to me, man, that was a wonderful prayer. It was a good prayer. I'm like, you should be accustomed to prayer. But people aren't. They'll go through a form of prayer. So how is your prayer life? Is it empty? How's your Bible study? You know, I'm not against those daily breads back there at all. But that really shouldn't be our whole Bible study. Should be a little more in depth. How's our church attendance? How we are in services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, revivals, camp meetings, those things. How are we doing being watchful, being ready, keeping things up to date? Is our house empty? Does it have cobwebs? Does it have dust? Does the Lord know you and I's name? No, the Bible, I believe the Bible lets us know that the enemies, the devils fear and tremble when we pray. When we bow before God and we look to God, that's a fearful thing for the enemies. Lord, I need to draw close to you. I need to make sure the cobwebs are gone, spiritual cobwebs, the spiritual dust, the spiritual darkness is gone. Are you empty? We read earlier, back here in Hezekiah, chapter 29, and I like that little thought there, and I said, Lord, help us. As Hezekiah became king, it says the very first year he opened up the temple of God. Why? Because it was important to him. He realized, somehow he realized how important that was to have God dwelling with them. He opened it up and he says, I want you to fix it up and get all the defilement out of there. Maybe they used it for a storage bin. But we're not going to use this anymore. Just throw all that stuff in there. Clean it out. Get it out of there. And he got with the priests and the Levites. He says, I want you to first sanctify yourselves. Get yourselves ready. Get yourself prepared. And let's get the house of God up where it should be, to where God can dwell with us. I thank God. I thank God that he is merciful. And if there has been a lack in our lives, so Lord, my prayer life or my Bible study or my attendance and all hasn't been there. And Lord, I want to rectify that. I want to repent of that. And Lord, I want to do better. I thank God he's long-suffering and merciful to just forgive us. He doesn't say, well, I'll put you on a probational period. God knows our hearts. God knows how sincere we are. And God just forgives us, reinstates us as a child of God, dwells back with us, and wants us to start on that path. How's your temple? How are the vessels in your temple? Are they up to date? Are they being kept? Like I said, the one I read there, one of your jobs may have been, I need to tend to the oil. I need to tend to the bread. I need to tend to the wine. I need to tend to the prayer. There are some things that we need to tend to every single day. And if the Spirit of God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you're lacking some here. You're lacking some there. That's because he loves you. And he says, I want you to cater to those things and take care of them by the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our psalm book on page 148. 148. My sin.
sin and into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my strength for failure I lost. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy glorious gate of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the sorrow into thy palm. Out of life's wound and into thy calm. Out of this gratitude, jubilant song. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unworth and arrogant pride. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blood, thou good to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above. Upward for thee, how wind like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the calm. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin and cold. Into the peace of thy sheltering fold. Every flower is fair to behold. Jesus, I come.